Human genetics, Tricia. Oh, that's right, we have to have our 10-minute pause for the computer to work.
I can just...
Don't worry, you're in trouble today. We've been doing this for like years.
What should work on this? If you find it. So maybe I could just begin while this is being loaded. Okay, so I'm from the Department of Human Genetics and probably one of the more senior scientists here presenting. It's a real pleasure to be here because Department of Human Genetics is for the first time offering courses at the undergraduate level. And for those of you who have any questions afterwards, I'm also the chair of the curriculum committee for the department. So what I'm going to present to you is an example of my own research, but exemplifies the research that's being done in our department, which focuses both on basic research in human genetics as well as applied. What can we take for our research findings and put them back into the clinic, and as soon as possible as well. Okay, so my research focuses on the genetic events in ovarian cancer. Here we go. Okay, so particularly I focus on two specific aspects of genetics: hereditary factors, if you inherit a mutation in a gene, does it confer increased risk? And secondly, somatic genetic events. These are events that occur or arise as the tumor develops and progresses. Why ovarian cancer? Ovarian cancer is very common. It's one of the 10 most common cancers diagnosed in women. It's not as common as breast cancer, but it stands out in contrast to breast cancer because women who are diagnosed with ovarian cancer often die of the disease. Over 70% of the women who are diagnosed with ovarian cancer die within 5 years or less. And there are a number of reasons why. Some of them I've listed on this slide, but to summarize fairly quickly, there are no effective methods for screening. The symptoms are vague, unlike breast cancer where you may experience a bump, a lump, something like that. There's your screening methods such as mammography, which do not exist for ovarian cancer. The disease is often diagnosed in advanced stage, perhaps reflecting something biological, such as aggressivity of the disease. There are very few effective therapies. There's a very high recurrence rate, and hereditary factors account for only 10%. We can only predict the risk for developing disease in about 10% of women who actually develop it. With respect to genetics, germline mutations are responsible for about 10% of all cases of ovarian cancer shown by this part of the pie. There are several known genes that have been identified. I specifically have been involved in the discovery of two specific genes called BRCA1 and BRCA2. When I moved to McGill as a postdoctoral fellow in the early 1990s, I was part of the large international research teams that were responsible for this. Here's an example of a family which harbor mutations in BRCA1, for example, and you can see both breast and ovarian cancer and their ages of diagnosis. However, there's some genes that perhaps account for a fraction of families that are not accounted for by these two genes. And so we look for those families using genetic methods. Other methods that we use to characterize genomic anomalies in tumors begins by looking at the disorganization of the genome that occurs, here shown by spectral karyotype. This is very common for ovarian cancer. We use two types of techniques to characterize anomalies. These anomalies are what we rely on, high-throughput methods for genotyping, exemplified by this complicated data set here, which actually point us in a direction of where to look for these genes, in regions of gain or regions of loss, for example. When you combine the anomalies that are found in tumor specimens, we see common regions of gain and loss, as shown here. Again, it points us in the direction. So what appears to be disorganized is actually not disorganized with respect to cancer specimens. We also look at gene expression profiles. Of the hundreds of genes that occur in the human genome, we use also high-throughput technologies to characterize gene overexpression or gene underexpression relative to normal tissues. These types of techniques that we use are techniques that were in part developed and applied in the Genome Center, which is located on the McGill campus. So we have a huge network of investigators here with both the technology and the knowledge to investigate these these types of genetic events. And why do we do this? Because we want to improve the care of those who have developed the disease, as well as we want to find ways to prevent from them developing the disease. So genetic factors would be involved in helping to prevent the disease, and identifying genomic anomalies in tumor samples will allow us to develop technologies to develop therapies to improve their treatment, as perhaps even control it. And I will end there. Thank you. Maybe you could.